Well, good morning, everybody. Praise God for another day. I was thinking about a time when I was at IU in my undergrad college, and I went to confession one day, and among my sins, I confessed to this wonderful Dominican priest, Father Stan. I confessed that I had fallen asleep several times in prayer. And now, we Catholics are always looking for the easy way out, you know. And usually the priest would say something like, "Well, that's okay, you sleep with Jesus," you know. But not Father Stan. Father Stan said, "Michael, do you want the real presence of Jesus?" I said, "I guess so." I said, "That's why I went to adoration in the first place." And he said, "Jesus wants your real presence too." It was like, boom, you know, like, whoa, made me think about prayer in a whole different way. And it made me become much, much more intentional, because just as much as I want the real presence of God, and everybody wants the real presence of God, God wants the real presence of everybody. It's a two-way street, you know, and so that's what I kind of want to reflect on briefly in my homily today. It's just our hunger for the real presence of God, and then God's hunger for the real presence of you and me. The first thing is our hunger for the real presence of God. Every single person in the whole wide world has a hunger for the Lord. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. You're born with it, because God made us all in His own likeness and image, and planted in the very middle of our nature is a hunger for the divine. It's like they say, you know, all of us were born with a God-sized hole. And only God can fill it. Like, we can try to put other things in there, but nothing's going to fill it. Like, only God will. For that reason, we are all born with this natural desire, this hunger for God. How we know that is that we're all looking for love. We're all looking for happiness, joy that transcends our ups and downs of life. We're all looking for meaning, and like, that's everybody's thing. And what is all of that but Jesus? When we look for love, we're looking for Jesus. When we're looking for meaning, we're looking for Jesus. When we're looking for salvation and to be saved from this or that, we're looking for Jesus. When we're looking for happiness, we're looking for Jesus, whether we know it or not. Because the vast majority of people, sadly to say, do not know that they are looking for Jesus. G.K. Chesterton said, "Even the man in the brothel is looking for the Lord. He's looking for love. He's looking in the totally wrong place, but he's looking for love." And the reality is that everybody is looking for the Lord. Jesus says in our gospel today, so like, there's these two disciples and they're walking behind John the Baptist, and Jesus is walking there, and he notices these two guys, and he catches their attention, and he says, "What are you looking for? What are you looking for?" And they didn't really know what to say. And so all they could think to say, which is, "Where are you staying?" Like, what kind of question is that? Like, no, what are you looking for? They're looking for the Lord, obviously. Every single person is looking for God, because we're all looking for love, and God is love. That's the fundamental thing. And our job, our role, is to always seek out the real presence of the Lord. And I tell you this, like, His real presence is everywhere. We call the Eucharist the real presence, which is why we love adoration, which is just a time to come and sit with Jesus. Why we have it every day at this parish. Why we have it every day is because we love the real presence of Jesus. I wish more people would come, frankly. But why we have Mass? Because we're looking for the real presence of Jesus, and we get it at Holy Mass in the Eucharist. That's just the most real way. But like, the real presence of the Lord is everywhere. It's in the beauty of the snow. Like, you might have seen on my Facebook this most wonderful picture I took as I was walking back from Lenny's. And by the way, Jesus is in donuts too. I'm walking back from Lenny's after having eaten some wonderful donuts. And I took, I just was like mesmerized, and I wanted to get on my knees because of how beautiful this church looked from the perspective from where I was. So go to my Facebook, you'll see it. But like, the real presence of God is everywhere. It's in people. It's in people we love. It's in people we don't love. It's in everyone. It's in everywhere. Like, it's not that hard to find the real presence of the Lord. We just have to have the eyes to open to see. And we're all looking for Him, because we're all looking for love, and God is love. Now, the second piece is that God is looking for our real presence also. And we see that, don't we, in our first reading, where here's Samuel, and he's just sleeping. It's in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden he hears somebody say, "Samuel, Samuel," and he just kind of figures that it's Eli, who's not that far away. And like, we know the story, like, this goes back several times. But like, what I appreciate about Samuel is that Samuel didn't like say, "Oh, I'll wait till the morning to deal with this voice that I've heard. You know, oh, I'll deal with that thing later." No, he gets out of bed in the middle of the night to see what's going on. He heard a voice. He heard something calling his name, and it turned out to be God. And he did something about it, which means that to give our real presence to God, we got to do two things more than anything: to listen and to act. You know, because God is speaking 1,000 times all over the place. And a lot of times we're kind of like Samuel because we don't recognize Him at first, but He's still speaking in there. And if our ears are open, we'll hear the Lord and we'll feel His prompting. Eli had this, Samuel had this prompting that he knew he had to do something about it right then and there. In the gospel, here's Andrew. Like, Andrew is one of the apostles, and he's there, and all of a sudden, like, Andrew has this idea. My brother Peter, who was the first pope, had not yet met Jesus. But Andrew had met Jesus. And so Andrew felt this prompting in his heart: I better show my brother the way to Jesus. And he does it. He felt this prompting. He heard it. And then he did something about it. He didn't sit there and think, "Well, gee, what would my brother think about me? Does he think I'm going to be a God freak? Or what's he going to..." Maybe he won't like Jesus. Maybe I should not issue this invitation. What will he think? How will he feel? No. He heard God say, "Invite your brother," and the scripture says he brought him to Jesus. And that man that he brought to Jesus is our first pope. Like, oh, whoa. Like, it just, the power of what happens when we hear God say something and do something about it. That's giving God our real presence. Our antennas are always up. Our eyes are always open, ears open to say, "Okay, Lord, speak, your servant is listening." Not, "Shut up, God, your servant is talking." But, "Speak, your servant is listening." Like, what do you want me to do? And then do it. I have a dear friend who's a priest, Father Jonathan Meyer, and he taught me a very important thing that he calls the 5-second rule. And the 5-second rule is this: whenever you feel a prompting from God to do something and you know you should do it, you go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and you do it. And sometimes there's larger questions in life, like we really have to discern and pray about, should I do this or should I do that? That's where prudence, you remember, I'm sure you all remember my sermon on prudence from 3 months ago. But like, there is a the 5-second rule applies when we know what we're supposed to do. And we just go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, we do it. Like every morning for me, my alarm goes off. Before I subscribe to the 5-second rule, I hit the snooze button 4 times. But now, I kid you not, my alarm goes off in the morning, and in my head I go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and I get out of bed at that moment. When I tell myself I'm going to go running, 5, 4, 3, 2, go. And like, it's important, like, because otherwise we just have great intentions. You know, like yesterday, I was at a red light, and there was a guy there who... was freezing to death and was hungry. And I'm there at the red light, and I should have done the 5-second rule. But instead, I started going in my mind. I kept thinking, well, maybe what if he doesn't use the money that I give him for food? Like, blah, 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 blah. And then I talked myself out of it, and the light turned green, and I didn't give him anything. Well, that's Jesus right there. You know, and I should have gone 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, here's $5. You know, that was God speaking to me, and I blew it. I felt a prompting from the Holy Spirit, and I didn't do anything about it. God has a lot to say to us. And it's New Year, you know, a lot of times people think, well, gee, maybe I ought to take better care of myself. I better lose a little bit of weight. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, develop a plan after Mass. Or, you know, Deacon Tom's offering a new Lenten study, a book study in Lent. I've never done a thing like that before. I don't know if I like group things. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, put it on your calendar and sign up. Honestly, like, that's the way, is that we just have to... We have to be fully present to the Lord. And being fully present means that we hear Him and we do something about it. It's like St. Paul says in our second reading. He says the word body 7 times. In other words, St. Paul is saying, if you want to serve God, you want to give Him your real presence, you got to give Him your body. In other words, like, if you don't, then it's just great feelings and intentions. Yeah, I want to love people and I want to be a better person. I want to get... Prove it with your body, is what St. Paul says. Like, you... To be fully present to God, to give God our real presence, is to give Him our bodies, to give Him it all. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, do it. Like, whatever that thing is in your heart. Sometimes it's like, oh, a name pops into my heart that I haven't thought about this person for a while. And all of a sudden, I'm driving along the road, and I think about him. And then I go, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and I give him a call. Because that's a prompting from the Holy Spirit. And this priest, Father Meyer, he says, like, if we don't act on it in 5 seconds, chances are we're going to forget about it and blow it and not do it. But to give God our full presence, our real presence, is to give God our bodies, our desires, our actions, everything. And God wants our real presence. God wants our real presence. And I just try to hammer that into people because, like, so many people, like, they... And I feel always so, like... It breaks my heart because sometimes I feel like people don't really want to be there for God. They're forced to come to church and they really don't want any part... God wants your real presence. He wants you. God wanted me for His own, is what the Scripture says. Like, He wants you. And so many times, like, we try to hold back our real presence. And we try to hold back ourselves from giving it over to God. It's like, no, give it over to God. Life is better. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And Jesus says, I will take care of everything else. Seek after me with your whole heart, with your whole life, with your real presence. I'll take care of the rest. Like, it's the best. We have the best in Jesus, don't we? And so, thanks be to God for that. And we pray in thanksgiving for His real presence, which is always among us, especially present in each other, and most especially present in the Holy Eucharist at Holy Mass. We thank God for His real presence. And we pray that we will be fully present and truly and really present to Him all the days of our lives, a little bit more every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.